Good morning, church. My name is Laura. Today is the fifth Sunday of the month, and typically on this day, we have one of our healing worship services. Our healing services are a special opportunity for us to slow down and make space for the places of grief in our life. Today, we're using this healing worship space a little bit differently. We're going to spend time honoring the people in our lives who have passed away. We're doing it today because it aligns with an ancient church tradition called All Hallows Tide, which I'll explain some more about in a little bit. Whether it is someone who died recently, years ago, or even before we are born, there's real wisdom in remembering the people who have touched our lives. As we pray today in our prayer of confession, it's easy to forget where and who we came from. It's easy to forget that our relatives, friends, and ancestors, it's easy to forget them, which leads us to feelings of rootlessness. And it's easy to forget those who have gone before us in our family of faith, which unfortunately dispossesses us of the love, wisdom, and courage we gain by identifying with the stories of those who inspire us. Remembering those who have passed from this life to the next is a common and ancient practice in most cultures. Yet in mainstream America, this practice is quickly fading. In our national consciousness, this kind of remembrance is, at most, reserved only for veterans. The unplugging of our national memory is not unintentional. It is a core strategy of American empire. For example, by discouraging a sense of connection to the past, our history of broken treaties with Native peoples becomes a mere paragraph in a history book, making the water protectors at Standing Rock sound like naive idealists. Slavery and Jim Crow are something to just get over, and their obvious legacy in police brutality and the incarceration of minority communities becomes obscure. But forgetting the past is not only a phenomenon in our collective American psyche. It is also an effective and primary way that individualism creeps into our very beings. If we follow the path of forgetfulness, it leads us to believe we came from nowhere and from no one, that we are products of our own making, rather than the children of complicated pasts and interwoven communities. As our connection to the past fades, we start floating around without a sense of root or grounding. But, in fact, we are not individuals created ex nihilo, out of nothing. The reality of our identity is well summarized in the South African word Ubuntu, which has been a guiding truth in our church for many years. It means, I am because we are. In other words, I don't exist apart from all other people. My identity can't be understood apart from all of you. And not only can we not understand ourselves apart from the others in this room, we also exist because of those who came before us and because of those who will go after us. We are because our ancestors were, and we are because the next generation will be. The Dakota phrase, Metakwayasin, which has become so dear to our church through the teaching of Pastor Jim Baer and Bob Clandrud, also includes this understanding. It means all my relations, and is said frequently to remind us that we are all family. We are all connected. Remembering loved ones is an extraordinarily biblical practice as well. Throughout the Bible, we read countless genealogies included as critical background information for the reader to be able to understand the context and who the subject is. Likewise, we hear the biblical figures call back to the memory of their matriarchs and patriarchs in the faith for wisdom and courage, and even as a way to better understand who their God is. In fact, the more westernized we are, the less we're able to see how thoroughly communal the Bible understands human identity to be. Our heroes of the faith are because their grandparents were. Historically, the church had a time to remember those in the faith who have passed away. It is this season that we're in right now, the holiday that morphed into modern Halloween. All Hallows Tide is a three-day liturgical holiday taking place October 31st to November 2nd, in which the church remembers saints and loved ones. It was inspired by indigenous Celtic traditions for honoring the dead, thought to take place in the autumn while creation itself was cycling from life to death. On All Saints' Eve, the first day, Christians would pray and make preparations for the 2 days to come. The next day, All Saints' Day, was for feasting and celebrating saints and martyrs, while the following day, All Souls' Day, was for remembering all the faithfully departed. especially family and friends. Here in our church today, we simply want to recover the wisdom our diverse backgrounds have taught us about honoring and remembering loved ones who are no longer with us. When I'm finished, we're going to hear testimony from Ebony and from Grandma Betty about a loved one that they have each lost. And then we'll give space for anyone else who would like to do the same. The rocks at the end of your pews are for you to remember someone special by writing their name on it and placing it on the altar, which Dana will lead us into doing a little later in the service. This time is not meant to glorify anyone from our past. Many of us come from complicated and painful pasts, after all, but rather to remember those we love in all their maturity and all their messiness. It could be a relative or an ancestor. It could be a close friend or a mentor. What's important today is recognizing the gift it is to have a cloud of witnesses surrounding us and to thank God for the lives of those who no longer walk the earth with us.
My grandfather, while he was living, we were pretty close. He was the one that took me to his church. And by the time I was maybe 11 or 12, he was in a nursing home until maybe 2002 when he passed away. And so a lot of the bonding took place in my earlier years, and I can't quite remember all of the things that he did for our families and what he meant to us, because for the most of my growing of age, he was in the nursing home wasting away. The second man, by the name of Milton Brown, passed away in August. And because of the way that our family was set up, we weren't that close to him. My grandmother made us refer to him as Mr. Brown, which is kind of odd, not granddad or uncle or anything like that. It was very, very formal. Whenever we would visit my grandmother, she would have us at the table, our family surrounded around like her kids and her grandkids and her nieces and nephews, and he would be somewhere in the living room watching TV football. We had to be cordial. We had to greet, but there was nothing, there was no other connection besides that. When I came to college and graduated in 2006, and then again in 2010, my grandmother and Mr. Brown came up to celebrate me, and I was really excited about that both of them came. And when I got married to my husband back in 2009, had to remember the year, 2009, I asked him if he would be the one to give me away, since me and my dad were on the outs at that moment in time. We're better now, I promise. And my grandmother said no. She said no for many reasons that I'm not going to get involved into, but I think a lot of it had to do with the fact that she wanted our families separate. When she started suffering from Alzheimer's in 2012, 2013, for the first time in 40 years, our family started to blend together because there was need there, and his kids started to come into our lives a little bit more, and it was very, very tense. It wasn't perfect. It wasn't beautiful. The beginnings of this relationship had been soiled because of the fact that she insisted that our family stay separate, but they also insist, her family also insisted that they were the ones who would take care of my grandmother because they wanted the possessions that my grandmother and my step-grandfather held together. About a year ago, my grandmother finally entered into a nursing home herself. Her family and my family could no longer take care of her. She was wetting the bed and no one was able to clean her up. She contracted hepatitis C and some other diseases just because it was we're not like healthcare professionals. I mean, we tried and we just don't have that training. And so she entered into a nursing home. And at the same time, my step-grandfather entered into a nursing home as well. My mom told me the last time that she spoke with him, maybe months after my grandmother went in, he was losing himself. And I didn't think it was that bad. But in September, I have a close friend of mine. We went to middle school and high school together. We were friends before we knew we were cousins by marriage. She posted that her grandfather died. It's like, what? On Facebook, right? And she's like, yeah, we buried him September 12th. I was like, when did he die? August 31st. I'm like, what in the world? I wasn't close to him. at all, wasn't close to their family at all. But the fact that I had to hear about the passing of a loved one on Facebook, and I asked them, why didn't you let our family know? Oh, well, so-and-so was supposed to do that. I'm like, that's no excuse to not give our family the decency to say goodbye for the ways that you were there, for the ways that you were consistent, even though there was not that intimate relationship, that connection. Each and every one of us have the right, should have the dignity to be afforded that sending off that last goodbye. And so today I say that. I say goodbye to Milton Brown. I'm sorry to see you go. I'm sorry I didn't get to come and say goodbye and grieve and mourn with your family. And I wish you well in eternal paradise.
I would like you to meet all my family. I didn't know they were coming. So please stand up. They're going to hear about their great-grandfather and great-great-grandfather. My dad was born in Jackson, Minnesota, and they lived by the river, but his parents were from Norway. My grandmother was disowned by her family because they were very wealthy, and she married a fisherman. They came to Jackson. They had 9 children, and one was my dad. At the river on their property, they would go swimming. And my dad went in swimming, and they grabbed him. His name is Alexander Einar Otterson. They baptized him, saying he was Alexander Dumas. He had that nickname. In fact, I always thought his name was Dumas. And so he went, when he was in the service, he went over to Germany and France and was gassed and landed in the hospital. And when he did get out, he came home and married my mother. And they went down to Louisville, Kentucky, where he was studying to be an accountant. But he kept dreaming all the time about figures, and he knew that was no job for him. So they came to St. Paul. They did not want to live in Jackson, and had 3 kids. And he had a battery shop over on Rice Street, and he had this big battery shop, and it was during Depression, so he decided he would build on our garage in St. Paul and up in Highland Park and build his batteries there, which he did. And this is during very bad times, and people in our neighborhood would come and get the broken batteries if they're cracked and burn them with the coal so that they would have heat. In fact, we had one neighbor, she had no husband, and had twin baby boys. Everyone helped her, but our whole neighborhood, they made sure she had food and heat. And the whole neighborhood smelled of the batteries when they heat their with coal. You didn't have oil. So anyhow, we belonged to the Randolph Heights Presbyterian Church. And all of us kids, three of us, we go to Sunday school, and then we would go to church. We were very fortunate. Our parents were Christians. And one day, a car backfired, and he let out a yell, thinking he was in the trenches. And he wasn't going back to church. But the pastor, Krebs, came and talked with him and the elder. So he lived a little longer, and then his blood pressure from being gassed was so high that he landed in the vet's hospital. And he knew he was going to die because they could not get it down. And Pastor Krebs came, and he had last communion. And then we were all with him when he passed away. And this is my mother. My mother lived until she was about 76 with cancer. So I know they're all up in heaven. And I'm not afraid of dying, because I know I'll see them again. Thank you.
I'd like to take the opportunity to talk about my own grandmother, Catherine Carraway, born Catherine Williams. She grew up in Lebo, Kansas, and moved to Great Bend, Kansas to teach, where she met my grandfather, Jack Carraway. The books in our home with my parents in Cypress, California, were engineering textbooks and medical dictionaries. But at my grandmother's home in Great Bend, Kansas, there were classic novels and history. My parents and sister were concrete, law-thinking kind of people, and I was the strange, abstract thinker among them. But my grandmother, she loved to tell stories. My safest and most joyful memories were sitting with her tiny self feeling her veins as she talked about her mother who had come from Wales as a child, about her being so proud about having taken a few college courses, and her years of teaching high school Latin. She talked about the experience of getting fired when she was married because of the scandal of having a married teacher. She talked about the Congregationalist church she grew up in Lebo. When we drove to Kansas to see our family every other summer, I looked forward to this time with all of my heart. I always knew that she was so proud of me. And I was grateful to know how proud of me, and I am grateful to know how proud of me she would be now. She taught me that there were strong people that I came from, and she taught me the importance of actually learning while in the educational system. This morning, we are focusing on the importance of telling our family stories and honoring our ancestors. Scripture spends a lot of energy modeling this for us. In our holy text, we get the chance to meet the great cloud of witnesses who have gone before us in the faith, their mistakes and their joys. We tell these stories so that we remember that we didn't invent ourselves and that we are not nameless people floating in space. We are grounded by the stories of resilience of those who have gone before. We who have given us love, advocacy, and hope, so that we too can embody courage and presence. In our scripture this morning, we have a story of a hard-fought life that Naomi, having survived famine and the loss of her family, other than one woman, Ruth. Through a story of love, creativity, and courage, Ruth and Naomi forge a way for their family to have a future. Their perseverance creates a bold line of artistic and brazen leaders who lead the family of Israel to vitality and unity in times of crisis. Loss and resilience turned into compassion and attachment for this little boy, Ruth's son, who will be the grandfather of a king of the nation. Naomi's maternal resilience pours upon an entire nation. A nation hearing a story and honoring the strength and the grief of those who had labored for their own well-being. Yet, in this line of David, there is a bold truth also being told by the narrator. In the lineage, we begin hearing the recorded lineage by beginning with Perez, who was born, how to say, out of forced child-making activities. This narrator records truth and sin and violence and moral failure and sorrow alongside the hope and love of Ruth and Boaz. And we do also. We are free to tell our family's stories and joys and also stories of our family's shame. And out of something, and that at something free and ancient and renewal will emerge. We're going to have time to invite people to come forward and share. We have these rocks. This one has my grandmother's name, Catherine Carraway. They're in every other pew. So if you are interested, grab a rock and also kind of pass the baskets around. If you want a rock and there's not one near, you kind of raise your hand. You can kind of pass rocks towards that area, or the ushers will be passing rocks out too. And you can come forward and leave a rock in the vase, or just come forward to the microphone and just say the name of somebody that you know who has been dear to you, who has guided you, who has died. And a sentence or two about why they are a helpful example for you and why you are grateful for them. This is a visual reminder of the foundation that we have as a church. The strength of my grandmother is a strength for all of us. The strength of Grandma Betty's father is a strength that we all get to stand on. And so here we lay these rocks to remind us of the strength. I'll give you a second kind of to find a rock if you're interested in, and we'll invite people forward. There's a mic right there if you'd like to.
I dedicate this rock to G.W. Carlson, who taught political science and history at Bethel University and put up with me when I was a very angry person. Thank you.
This rock is for my wehadawati. Oh, my maternal grandpa.
When I was born, I had four grandparents alive and all eight great-grandparents. So that would be a lot of rocks. So I'll just do one for all of them.
My mother, Luella, and my mother type figure called Katie.
Gwendolyn Grothy, my mother's mother.
That rock was for my other grandfather, Fred Katterheinrich. I've been fortunate enough to have four grandparents when I was born, but I never really got to know Grandpa Fred. But I was able to know Grandma Betty's my grandma, and her husband Van, my Grandpa Van, and my Grandma Donna is still alive, but her husband Fred passed away when I was very little, so I didn't really get to know him.
This rock is for Pastor Daryl Nelson, who I think he and his wife, who is still living, really helped my family begin and carry on a tradition of adopted family and extended family that comes around you when your blood relatives are far away.
Good morning, Church. Sorry, I don't have no voice. But I find this morning a great honor. I just got back from Africa. I've been away for so long that my dad passed away without me. I had a chance to visit his grave. And say goodbye to him. It was so joy to see where he was laid to rest. My mom passed away when I was little. So all my life has been ups and downs, wondering why me? So my dad, I didn't really get to know him that well, because of the passing of my mom when I was little. But all that has happened, we know I'll get to see him in heaven. And I thank you, all of you, for your support. Even though you did not know my dad, Pastor Jean, Dana, another group were able to meet my dad. And I thank this church for giving us that opportunity for some of our members to meet our own. So for them, they meant a lot. Pastor Jean, Dana, and those who, and Pastor Muya, who were able to see my dad after clashes. I thank you, and may God bless you. Thank you all.
I didn't get to know my grandparents, but I just lost my husband 2 years ago. We were married 68 years.
Hello, I'm quite new to this church, so just want to introduce myself. I go by Soon Young, and I just started coming here about a month ago. And I put on here my son, who is 4 years old. He's in the nursery right now. And I put my son's 10 grandparents. So I'm adopted, and so is my husband. And so being adoptees as a family, we have a lot of lineage, both in those who adopted us and those who brought us to this earth biologically. And so the only grandparent that my son really has gotten to know is my father that adopted me, who lives here in Minnesota. But the 9 other ones, I feel like, do definitely impact who he is, because I do believe we are, without always knowing, impacted by those who we do and do not know, as we talked about today. So I just wanted to share that.
Amen. I am Jinsu. I wrote the name of my paternal grandfather, Kim Tuk-sung, or Tuk-sung Kim in American way. He was a marginalized figure in my family because he was highly educated, yet highly incompetent in life. And my grandmother resented him for it and tried so hard for my father not to turn out like him. I think it was a secret anxiety of all the women in my family that I would turn out like him. But he was good to me, and there are many stories that I'm remembering now that really wish I got to know him better. And in grief, I put this down and say goodbye to him.
I wrote my dad's name. Oh, geez. Richard Stevens, he passed away earlier this year. And, geez, I miss him.
I want to honor my grandparents. In Tamil, we call them Tata, Pati, and that's how I refer to them too. From my mom's side, it's like I call them Tata. I have my grandfather, Pati for my grandmom. And from my dad's side, it was only Pati Ma. I never got to know my dad's dad. I just want to honor them because my Tata from my mom's side, I used to lie down with him and he used to share stories about his side of the family, and I think it was very sacred, the things that he shared with me. And I know that whenever I need him, I can still feel him with me. And it's really good to honor him and honor your ancestors. So.
This rock is for Charles David Ebersole Jr., my husband of 17 and a half years. He was a Christian and a good and faithful father and husband. He passed away in 1973, so he's been missed for a long time, and I still miss him. And this is in honor of him.
I'm, part of Betty's family over here. I wanted to honor my grandparents, all four of whom I got to meet. They were born in the 1920s, but wanted to honor Leo, Ann, and Cecil. Leo is actually the name of my son. They served the country from World War II and forward, and in the later half of their life, dedicated their lives to serving others, and I just know that they were good examples of those who fought the good fight and finished the race, and I can't wait to see them again.
Amen. I made this rock for my cousin. His name was Mark Avent. He was a great singer. He had a beautiful voice. I used to love going to my aunt's house and hearing him sing. He died in his sleep from something with his brain, so I hope to see him again in heaven.
This rock is for Mrs. D. Mrs. D was my high school grade administrator. She took care of all the absences, so I was very close with her. she really was like a mother to me. She passed away a few years ago, she was very special, and I missed her funeral. So this is to remember her, and she's also the first person to think of me as a successful business person. So miss you, Mrs. D.
Morning, church. Let's see, this rock, I'm trying to think of which side of the story to start with, but the thing that I'm thinking about this morning is we're working with Oliver on Dia de los Muertos, so we actually have some pretty cool costumes for this afternoon, but One of the things about Dia de los Muertos is it's a little bit of a fusion of indigenous culture and celebration of life, and also All Saints Day, so you have a little bit of the Christian tradition that merged with the indigenous tradition. And one of the things that they specifically celebrate is the children. There's many of the Dia de los Muertos traditions actually celebrate the children specifically, and honoring the lives of children who go before us. And the rock that I have this morning is for my nephew Timothy, who actually only lived for 20 minutes. He would be four now. And I think the thing I want to say is that I think sometimes those very, very short lives are just as precious to us as all the long and incredible ones. And I really believe that kind of walking through death with a life that tiny and that fragile and that innocent is probably really the first time that I really believed in heaven and really believed in kind of the tenderness and the softness of death. So for Timothy, and for especially those small lives that have gone before us.
I've written the name of my friend Allison on this rock, and Allison and I were friends for a few short years in the early 2000s when she drowned in 2004. I still find a lot of comfort in our friendship, and her memory is a real blessing.
I dedicate this rock to my harmony, Kim Hyo-young. She came to America with 8 children and then was widowed immediately, and she raised them on her own. And then she survived multiple cancers and fought life like a champ until God called her home. So no matter how many times I feel broken, she's the... She's the epitome of resilience. And I missed her.
This rock is in honor of my paternal great-grandpa Elmer, who died 2 years ago last month.
This rock is for my grandmother. I never met her. She passed away of breast cancer when my dad was 14. But I just want to honor her work. My dad's father passed away when he was 5, so she was a single mom to 3 boys in an era in which that was not socially acceptable, and worked full-time as a teacher as well as trying to support them. And so I want to honor her resilience also.
This rocks. This rock is for my mother, who had a hard, hard life all through her life, but never failed teaching me how to live in God's way. And then also Miss Lilia's joy, when we came to United States first, we lived with her 4 years, and then she inspired with God's love.
This rock is for my 2 grandfathers, one that Jaron mentioned, who was the only one of my grandparents that lived to meet our kids and to be able to invest in their lives, and then my grandpa Dean, who passed away actually while we were on our honeymoon 15 years ago.
This rock is in honor of my grandfather, my maternal grandfather, Ronnie Scher. He loved horses. I have very good memories of following him around out in the barns as he did chores. He was a storyteller, and his favorite thing in the world was sharing a meal with family and friends. He passed away in 2007, and I find as I get older, I'm more and more drawn to who he was and the qualities he's embodied.
My rock is for my grandpa, David Peterson, who passed away this summer. He was 93, and It was my mom's grandparents that I grew up with and was the closest to. And this summer was special because my mom and I had a chance to travel to Sweden and see the place where his father and his grandfather were born. So it was a very special summer and also a time where we were missing my grandpa David.
This rock is from my grandmother, Dorothy Irene Linktengen. She passed away in February. I got to be there. I suddenly went to visit her, and I arrived 5 minutes before she passed away, singing hymns. And I'm remembering her a lot this day. My grandfather, her husband, is in the hospital in hospice and probably won't live a lot longer. So I'm remembering her and also him as he's leaving soon.
Hello, church. I've written a number of names from my mother's family on here, including my mother, whose birthday was on Thursday, and she would have been 68. She passed away in 1987 of ovarian cancer. And our family has been identified by the National Institutes of Health of a predisposition genetically for cancer. So I've written on here the names of my mom, who died in 1987, my Aunt Nancy, who died in 2003, my Uncle Dan, who died last fall, my Aunt Dee, who died in 2004, and my grandparents, who died in 1972 and 1975.
Hey, for my maternal grandparents, Ernie and Demetria Jordy, who are from the La Crescent, La Crosse area just down the river, and yeah, just good, decent, generous, kind people. So.
My rock's for my grandma Jane. She was the most amazing woman and also the strongest and sometimes scariest woman. I spent every Halloween, actually, I would go up to her house while she was still alive. She passed in 2001. And I just have the most distinct memories of her and being so convinced that she was Italian, even though she wasn't. When she was 16, she had to move out of her parents' house because she was pregnant with my mom really early on, and she was raised basically again by her parents-in-law. And I've just never met anyone that was able to be so strong and take on so much of someone else's being, and she always taught me to read and learn about others. And never stop learning. So I'm thankful for her.
Hi. This rock is for my mom, Barbara Carroll. She was very active in this church as Shiloh Bethany Presbyterian, and she passed away 13 years ago, November 9th. And so this is for my mom. Amen.
I had many names, but the person that constantly come is my dad, Samuel Mungai, who died in 2000. I think a lot about him because of what he taught me. Most importantly, that people are the greatest wealth. He's inspired my life philosophy and my pursuit of ministry, especially of care.
This rock is for my uncle who passed away on Monday, and I haven't processed yet because of messy family dynamics. I was asked not to tell my parents yet, and that's confusing. So this is for him and my family because it's not about to be easy.
Hmm.
This rock is for my paternal grandmother, who passed away when I was in fourth grade. The day after, when I was at school, thank goodness for the elementary school psychologist or counselor, who was able to kind of bring along my twin sister and I aside to really kind of grieve. And part of the activity was to draw a picture in remembrance of her. And one of the memories that I really draw upon are the many mornings that we would spend the night at her apartment. And in those moments where she thought that we were sleeping, she would be singing hymn songs in Korean in a very monotone voice and read aloud the Korean Bible. And I really feel and believe that what she did when she thought it was in secret is fruit that me and my family and my children get to experience now.
This rock is for my mom's brother, my Uncle Roger, who died this summer of a brain aneurysm very suddenly. And in some ways, I have a lot of peace about it because I was feeling really estranged from my family and my mom's side for a very long time. And his passing really brought our family together. And I finally feel close to them. And this year is the first year in my whole life that I'm excited to spend Christmas with.
Our grief can guide us when we grieve together. And indeed, we are stronger when we cry together. I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful for the strength that is in our church that we all get to share, and so grateful for all of you. Let's pray. Good Father, I thank you for receiving us. I thank you for providing for us and for caring for us. Continue to guide our hearts as we celebrate the good things we have in our lives and the good people that we have had in our lives. Receive us, O Lord, in your name. Amen.